Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, August 30th, 2021. I'm your host, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is White Drake, a.k.a. Tim Gettys.
How do you feel about that, Bless? I'm going to tell you right now.
It'll grow on you. It'll grow on you.
Yeah, we'll see.
Gary would have
we'll
hit gold see. When he came up with that one.
He did hit gold. Well, let me tell you, it does excite me. I do like it. But it also, it gives me this like little tinge of fear. You know what I mean?
What's there to fear?
Sure. I don't know.
You think Pusha T is going to come after you? You think white Pusha T is going to come find you? Reveal your son to the world?
I don't want to meet white Pusha T. That sounds very, very
Who do you think white Pusha T is? Is it Nick Scarpino?
No, it's not. No, I don't know. But don't ever put that out into the world. I hate that.
God. Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing real well, Bless. It's been a much needed weekend. Play some video games, you know what I mean? I've been dabbling with Psychonauts. I haven't gotten too far yet, but excited to talk more about that. Play tonight, talk on Gamescast tomorrow. Also played a little game while I was downloading Psychonauts. Something caught my eye on the Game Pass screen that was called hold on. I wrote it down.
Quake.
No. It was next
Sonic
to Quake.
Generations.
It was next to Quake. Art of Rally.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of this?
No.
We'll talk about it on Gamescast tomorrow, but it's a old school rally like game where you rally car game, but like with a very indie influenced art style. It's pretty damn cool, and it was more fun than it should be. I'll tell you that. But I'll tell you too, this Game Pass thing, it's going places.
Yeah, this Game Pass thing is really going places. No, that's been my thing whenever I turn on my Xbox. Every now and then, I just go back to Perfect Dark. Just because it's there, right? Just because it's there.
And you're like, well, we got options.
Yeah, it's like, why not? Why shouldn't I boot this thing up? Where are you at with Psychonauts 2? Because I still haven't booted that thing up.
Real early. Real early. I just got it downloaded, got it set, because tonight's going to be my playtime with it. Like, for real.
Are you enjoying it so far? And you're, what, 30 minutes with it?
Yeah. I am enjoying it. It's still, it's one of those things, like I've said before, like the Psychonauts never grabbed me, the first one. I kind of like didn't really love it. And so far, this one isn't proving my opinions wrong to myself, but we'll see. Andy was playing through. I saw he was tweeting about it, saying that like he gets all the game of the year conversation. I'm like, okay.
Really?
Yeah. And like going into it, I think me and Andy were in more similar places about it. So hopefully I just got to keep pushing through.
Yeah, I can't wait to start it. Like, I meant to start it this last weekend, but Tim, I got pulled into a game called Genshin Impact. And I've played maybe about...
God bless you.
I've played maybe about 10 hours of Genshin Impact in the last 3 days.
Holy shit, okay. Getting ready for that, Aloy?
Getting ready for Aloy, yeah. You got to be Adventure Rank 20 to actually play as Aloy when Aloy comes out. And I'm at Adventure Rank 16, and that is with my hours in the last weekend combined with my hours playing when the game first came out. Because I played like maybe 7 hours when the game first dropped on PlayStation last year, dropped off, and then came back on this last weekend and put in like an additional 10 hours. So I'm like 15 to 17 hours into this game, and I still haven't reached rank 20, and I am still somehow in the prologue for this game. But I'm having a blast.
Hilarious.
Yeah. It's wild because this game is surprisingly... When Immortals Fenyx Rising came out, I hated on Immortals Fenyx Rising because I felt like that game learned the wrong lessons from Breath of the Wild. This game, surprisingly, I feel like hits the nail on the head in so many ways compared to Breath of the Wild, but takes that stuff and just turns it into a casino in a way that is unsavory, but in a way that I can kind of respect because like the game design is there.
Don't use the word respect with that. You can say enjoy, right. Bless. You can say enjoy, but don't say respect.
I respect it because I see the machinations. I see the algorithm at work. I see what they're doing, and I see how they're trying to manipulate me. Like they have card packs, but I'm just gonna call them card packs because people get what that is. Mm-hmm. They have basically things you can roll to get more characters. And I rolled so many packs, Tim. I tried to unlock one character. Her name is Zenyon. She is like this guitar playing anime girl.
Let's get Zenyon.
I want Zenyon, and they won't let me buy Zenyon. To get Zenyon, I have to roll for Zenyon. And I've been messing up these rolls, Tim. I spent so many, I believe they're called Acquaint Fates, or an intertwined fates. I think they're both. I've been spending so many fates, Tim, trying to roll these packs so I can unlock Zenyon.
Instead,
I unlock Sayu. I've unlocked Sayu twice now. And I like Sayu. Sayu's great. Sayu has healing abilities. But Sayu is a Zenyon, Tim.
If you had a Zenyon for every time you got a Sayu,
oh my God.
Two Zenyons.
I'd have two Zenyans, Tim. But yeah, I definitely want to hop into Psychonauts 2. I've seen enough people compare it to Rare on N64, and I'm like, that's all I need to hear.
Say no more.
I can't wait to talk about that on Gamescast.
Are you going
to
get into the rigmarole right now?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to do a quick phone call while you do that with Andy Cortez.
Oh, Tim, take that call. While you do that, let me tell you about how today's stories include Norman Reedus hinting at Death Stranding 2, Suda51 wants to make a Deadpool game, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, a new Kind of Funny podcast is up right now titled Greg's Babysitter Power Rankings. Greg's Babysitter Power Rankings. I saw that I'm on the thumbnail for that one along with other Kind of Funny folks. Makes me worried seeing the thumbnail and seeing the title, but if you haven't checked it out yet, go check it out. I'm sure it's a great episode.
This Thursday. Rank high?
Oh, what was that, Kevin?
Did I rank high?
I mean, I can tell you. Tim, did Kevin rank high on the babysitter rankings?
I was asking Tim.
Oh, yes. Yes, you did.
Yeah! I'll take care of your baby.
That's upsetting to me. That's Did Kevin rank higher than I did?
Yeah, he did. You ranked pretty low.
Bless. Okay. Bless. Don't.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
Listen. I mean, no, Bless. There was good explanations for all of us.
I'm not upset that I ranked low. I'm more upset that Kevin ranked high.
Hey, you give me a baby. I'll raise it right.
I don't know about that, bro. I don't know. That
Oh, we're going to have to do a sequel.
Look at what behave my dog is.
I mean, a dog's not a child, but I digress. This Thursday, you're getting a new episode of The Blessing Show.
What experience
show.
Do you have?
Well, that's why I'm not upset that I ranked low. It's just the fact that you ranked high, because I want to know. I feel like I would be more careful with a baby.
No, you've never seen me with a kid. Kids love me. I take care of kids so well.
I mean, I do have experience with like taking care of children. I worked in an elementary school for 3 months. All right, Kevin, for three solid months, I worked.
And then you got fired for negligence.
In an elementary school.
Negligence.
I can't. It's not working.
No, you're there. You're right there. This Thursday, you're getting a new episode of The Blessing Show. That's going live at 7 a.m. Pacific time with a YouTube premiere on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. I'm not going to tell you guys what that episode is about. All I'm going to say is that it's a pretty big episode. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Blackjack. Today brought to you by Purple Mattress, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today. What is the explanation for Kevin ranking high on the babysitting list? I don't understand it.
I mean, you gotta listen to the episode. There's a lot of good points made. Nick talked as well.
Story number one. Norman Reedus says another Death Stranding game is, quote, in negotiations. I'm pulling from Stephanie Miner at The Gamer. Norman Reedus, known for his role as Daryl Dixon in The Walking Dead and Sam Porter Bridges from Death Stranding, recently shared some insight on another Death Stranding game with a reporter from Adoro Cinema. IGN Brazil, a partner site to Adoro Cinema, quotes Reedus as saying, quote, I think we're doing a second Death Stranding. The game is in negotiations right now. So, ... yay, end quote. This could potentially be huge news for Death Stranding fans, though nothing has been confirmed yet in an official capacity. It also isn't totally clear if Reedus could possibly be referring to the director's cut version of Death Stranding, which is set to release in September of this year. As a reminder, Jeff Grubb at GamesBeat earlier this year on July 1st reported that Hideo Kojima and Microsoft have signed a letter of intent that states that the two parties intend to work out the details on a publishing agreement for a new Xbox game, according to sources familiar with the matter. This is a key step in negotiations between the Metal Gear Solid creator and the Xbox company. This signifies that both parties have agreed to a generalized deal while lawyers continue hashing out the finer points. Wanted to add that in for context. Tim, fucking Geddes. Do you think this is happening? Do you think we're getting Death Stranding 2? Do you think Norman Reedus is full of it?
This is complicated in a lot of ways. So normally when we get these kind of random news tidbits from celebrities, they tend to not lead to truth, right? It's just offhanded comments people make in completely unrelated projects. This happens a lot in movies, right? Where IGN is interviewing, or like let's say the Hollywood Reporter. Hollywood Reporter is interviewing Michael Douglas about a movie he's like to promote a movie that he's in. They're going to ask him some questions about Ant-Man Quantumania because he's in it. And they know that that's going to get headlines and that's going to get some clicks, right? So oftentimes people will be asked things. In video games, I think that happens a little bit less just because of the way that video games work. And there's not too many celebrities in video games and there's not too many actors in video games. Like there's been more and more over time, but you know, it's not every video game we're getting a Norman Reedus. So I think that we're in this unique position where they could be asked about projects and they might talk a little bit more openly as if it was a movie instead of a video game, right? Or a TV show. Like that's just kind of like how that world works. So Norman Reedus would probably talk about it like the way he would talk about other movies or TV shows, which is a little more open and a little more like, oh yeah, I heard this thing's happening. In the movie and TV world, I heard this thing's happening. There's so many stages of green light and scripting and approval and pickup and all of that stuff before it ends up on TV. Whereas video games is a lot more secretive. There's a lot more behind the scenes. And sure, him and Kojima could have had a conversation about Death Stranding 2 at some point. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I think it's happening. Because to an extent, that's not a lie. It is happening where it's being worked on, being thought of. Will it actually end up happening? That's a completely unrelated thing. But I do think that there's more truth to this nugget than normally because it's Norman Reedus, it's Kojima, and all of that stuff, as well as the fact that Death Stranding sold surprisingly well compared to what a lot of people expected it to, and a lot of people thought it did looking back on it. Like last update we have came out in July, but the update was from sales numbers from March of 2020, and that was at over 5 million. So that's a successful game, especially limited to PS4, and then eventually it was PC as well. And then now we have the director's cut coming out that's going to boost those numbers. Additionally, those are numbers that are sequel worthy, right? Like that's the type of stuff where it's like, all right, cool, it's worth investing in this franchise to get some more out of this from a financial point of view. Adding that to all the rumors of the Kojima Xbox stuff, could the team be working on multiple games? There's a lot there to really boil it down. Do I think we're going to Death Stranding 2? I don't. Something in my gut says we won't, but maybe that's just because that's not what I want from Kojima.
Yeah, I think it's the combination of Death Stranding being such a divisive series in terms of how it was received at launch, plus it being Hideo Kojima. Hideo Kojima strikes me as the dude that probably doesn't want to do franchise work as much nowadays because he did that with Metal Gear Solid. He made so many Metal Gear Solid games. And I feel like at this point with where Metal Gear Solid went from Metal Gear Solid 1 to him having struggles, even getting Metal Gear Solid 5 out the door and that game coming out unfinished in the story aspects of it and him having his experience with Konami, it's hard for me to think that Kojima would want to go down the route of creating a franchise that lasts over multiple iterations, unless he has full creative control with it, which I'm sure with Death Stranding, to some extent, he does, right? Even though Death Stranding is a PlayStation first-party game, I'm sure in those negotiations with PlayStation, Kojima goes, hey, I want you guys to meddle not at all in this game, right? Like, I want to have my own creative freedom with this thing, which is how we get a game like Death Stranding, which is a game about delivering packages and walking as the main mechanic, right? Like, that is a strange game that Kojima put out, and he's able to put it out because, you know, he doesn't have meddling from bigger publishers asking him to make a game any sort of way. With that, a Death Stranding 2, I'm with you, would be surprising. Norman Reedus talking about it, I think, is an interesting thing. And I think, you know, the article does a good job of pointing out that, hey, maybe it's a director's cut thing. Maybe he has wires crossed. Maybe he considers that to be sequel-ish because maybe there's content in the director's cut that is follow-ups on the story of Death Stranding at the end of that
easily
trailer.
Easily could be that, yeah.
Yeah, at the end of that trailer at Gamescom, right, you had that weird scene toward the end where you had the big whale creature come through and almost eat Norman Reedus alive. Like, does that take place later on? Is that a side story? Is that something that Norman Reedus recorded and went, oh, this must be part of a 1.5 game or a Death Stranding 2? Maybe. Like, as somebody who's in a voice actor role, like, I assume that maybe for him, like, when he gets called up to do additional voice work for the game, he goes, all right, cool. Yeah, I'm just making more content. And it's different from TV, where in TV or in movies, if you're recording additional content, that is a sequel. That is more content, right? But in a video game is being so different from movies and TV, I can see how you get those wires crossed.
Yep, totally.
Would you want a Death Stranding 2?
Personally, I would not, because I didn't enjoy Death Stranding 1, and I really enjoy Kojima games otherwise. So it's like, I would, in the order of operations here, I would rather him be working on a Metal Gear game be number one, and I understand how, what goes into that and why that might not happen. Number two would be just a brand new IP that is more in line with the action side of things, as opposed to what Death Stranding was. And then number three would be another IP, like something like Silent Hill, or something, and just Kojima's take on something that's already established. Because just personally, like, his take with Death Stranding was the stuff I like least about Kojima, in not just distilled, but like in one grandiose package that is Death Stranding, and it just didn't vibe with me. So yeah, I would not be looking forward to a Death Stranding 2.
Yeah, Death Stranding, funny enough, right before the show, we were talking about Kanye in his discography, and Death Stranding is the game that I would compare it to his Yeezus, right? Like,
yeah,
it is him being
very
like,
good point, man.
I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to make it experimental. I don't give a fuck, like, who likes it. I don't give a fuck about, like, game design standards. I'm here to break the standard. I'm going to make this thing that is a commentary on the on games design and a commentary on the world. And first, a lot of people that worked, and for quite a, for a lot of people as well, that didn't work. I think for me, what I would want from Kojima, I would want something new. I like the idea that he, even though I game mainly on PlayStation, I like the idea that he's talking to Xbox, you know, in order to figure out what putting a game on there is like. I like the idea of Kojima having options, because I think the more freedom you give him to do whatever the fuck he wants, the more space he has to maybe make something that is amazing. And so for many people, Death Stranding was that amazing thing. Like, Death Stranding did get incredible reviews from quite a few outlets. I went into Death Stranding and I really enjoyed what I played of it. I think he's able to do that because he had the freedom of, hey, PlayStation, we're coming to you. We're allowing you to do your thing. And Xbox does the same thing and gives him Game Pass as an outlet, or gives him xCloud as an outlet, and gives him whatever resources he needs in order to make the game that he wants to make and not have to worry about sales, because Game Pass is the way that people are going to get that game. I wonder what that allows him to create. I wonder what direction he takes that. And I just wonder what he still has in the tank in terms of new IP and new ideas. Because I like when Kojima gets weird. I like when he gets in his bag and is like, cool, I am going to make an adventure game, or I am going to make a game starring Norman Reedus where you walk around post-apocalyptic USA, right? Like, I want to see more of his new ideas. Or I want to see Blue Point make a Metal Gear Solid game and have him work alongside it. Like,
that is the dream for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting. You bring up the Kanye thing. It's like, I can agree with you that Death Stranding feels more Yeezus-ish. But like, I want to see, what's his 808s and Heartbreak? Like, what is the thing that is still different from what we expected from Kanye? But it's like, you know, this new product, it's solid. This new thing that is solid from top to bottom, and it works. And it's like kind of looked back at as a new classic that is next to, but still separate from the original trilogy of albums, right? And with Kojima, it's like, what could that be? And I know to a lot of people, it might be Death Stranding, but... Mm-hmm. It wasn't for me. So it's like, I wonder what could be. And I love this idea of, especially if it's with Game Pass, like some type, no one has nailed the modern episodic video game with Game Pass as a medium, right? And I think that that is such an untapped potential. And I think Kojima could be the person with the team to figure that out, because like the value of Game Pass is that it's always there. You're always going to have it. You don't need to worry about buying more things and all that. So if they can figure out a cadence of releasing episodic titles that keep people coming back without getting people lost along the way, that could be so cool and so valuable to them. Like imagine like a live service game, but it's a single player narrative thing. Right.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I mean, Kojima has mentioned that he's wanted to make an episodic game before. I know Kojima said a lot of things. Just last week he just was talking about how he wants to make an adventure game. But I think that would be the avenue to do it. Right. If he did want to make episodic, Game Pass is the thing. I was theorizing for a long time that like Xbox would buy Don't Nod, because that would be such a good fit. Because you had Tell Me Why come out as an episodic thing, right? You had Don't Nod being the folks who created Life is Strange. And like with that partnership, I thought that was a done deal. I thought that was I thought that was an easy get for Xbox. So I'm surprised they haven't even done that yet. But for Game Pass, I think that makes so much sense, especially when you talk about the marketing strategy for it, right? For something like Game Pass, I think it is smart to have releases that evolve over time and have people coming back to it repeatedly. And so if Kojima was putting out, let's say, a 12-episode episodic thing where one episode comes out a month, that is going to keep people subscribed to Game Pass for that whole year to experience that full thing, right? Like for Xbox, you got to find smart ways in order to keep people hooked on the service. And I think that would be a slam dunk in terms of doing it.
Totally.
Tim, let's continue talking about big game directors. So story number two, Suda51 wants to make a Deadpool game. I'm pulling from Chris Scolian at Video Games Chronicle. No More Heroes creator Suda51 has stated that he would love to make a Deadpool game with Marvel. During a two-hour launch live stream with IGN Japan, Suda was asked what was next for developer Grasshopper Manufacture now that No More Heroes series is over. Quote, "The broad answer is we already have a lot of products that are in development," Suda replied via a translator. Quote, "And over the next 10 years, we have three original IPs that we were working on and we have already planned out." Quote, "So you can definitely look forward to a lot of new, interesting original IPs from Grasshopper. We also, of course, have other plans and are working hard on them to bring them to fruition. But in terms of the kind of things I'd love to do, I'd love to work with Marvel on a Shatterstar or Deadpool game, something sort of Grasshopper-y like that. Maybe a Quicksilver title of some sorts. So Marvel, you know," end quote. The third and seemingly final game in the main No More Heroes series was released last week, after which Suda took to Twitter to declare that the series was over. Tim, have you played No More Heroes 3 at all?
No, I have not played 3 yet.
Well, where are you at? I don't know if we talked about this on the show last week, the fact that No More Heroes 3 seems to be the final in the franchise. Like, where are you at with that? But then also, where are you at with where Suda51 wants to go, like a big Deadpool game?
I mean, it's all really interesting. Suda51, extremely talented, and No More Heroes 1 specifically was a very important game for me, and I loved it so much. It was so important to the Wii, especially at that moment in time, and it just felt so fresh and so different compared to anything else that we had. As times went on, I feel like that freshness isn't so fresh anymore, because that type of vibe has been normalized a bit more. Like, the world has been introduced to things like Adventure Time, to the point that Adventure Time is kind of just modern pop culture, right? It's not this unique thing. Every piece of animation since then, in that vein, has very much followed that mold, right? And I think that with Suda51, that kind of weirdness that is like, you know, I'm gonna say fuck and it's funny, like, definitely fits Deadpool, right?
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's like Deadpool, I think, even has kind of evolved past that of needing to kind of be more than just that. And so I wonder what this could look like. You've been playing 3. Like, I was seeing your tweets about it. Seems like you're not in love with it.
No. Yeah, I'm split in two directions, because I love Suda51, and the Suda51 attitude is there. And, like, No More Heroes 3 has its moments. It has the stuff I love about Travis Touchdown and what I love about this series, and it has the style and it has the cutscenes and all that stuff. But for me, the gameplay was what held a lot of that game back. It feels like a game that was made like the same year as No More Heroes 2, right? Like, it's held back so much, but I think the technology of the Switch, but then also them just not being able to bring the franchise forward in any way, if you know what I mean. And yeah. I mean, for what you're talking about with Deadpool, right? Like, I think tonally, No More Heroes is still kind of in 2010 in a way that Travis is still calling people fuckhead. Some of the quote unquote cool aspects of No More Heroes is really like saying the bad words or getting really bloody and all that stuff in ways that like feel still rooted back in the last decade, but also in some parts ways that feel fresh and cool. Like, I think No More Heroes 3 can be hit and miss in a lot of those moments. But that said, after playing No More Heroes 3, I could see Suda51 making a really interesting Deadpool game. Because one of the things I do like about No More Heroes 3 is that in terms of gameplay, that game isn't afraid to keep you on your toes and switch things up in moments that you wouldn't expect it to. Like, the game isn't afraid to get to a boss fight and all of a sudden you're fighting a different boss than you thought you were fighting, right? The game isn't afraid to get to a boss fight and totally change up gameplay in a way where it's like, okay, cool, you were doing third-person action. Now you're doing a totally completely different genre, right? The game isn't afraid to do things like that. And in a Deadpool
Everyone's
favorite. But in No More Heroes, I think it works because No More Heroes doesn't take it so seriously.
It has
seriously.
That frenetic, crazy action of like, you don't know what's happening because we're crazy.
Exactly. And I think that would work so well for Deadpool. If you're playing Deadpool as a third-person action game 1 second, and then all of a sudden you get to the next level, and for some reason you're playing a Mario Party clone, like, I could see a Deadpool game playing around with that kind of stuff really interestingly in a way that I think Suda 51 could probably pull off.
Yeah, that could be really cool. And it would have to be a smaller game, I think. But I think that definitely could work. It's always interesting when we see these kind of games come out from these renowned creators. And it's a weird balance of we want something new and fresh, but we also just want them to give us what they gave us before.
Yes.
And finding that balance between the two is very difficult because it being stuck in the 2010s, it's like, is that necessarily a criticism or is that a good thing? You know,
yeah,
and like that's like the complexity of this.
That's the tough thing is that for me, it's both. For me, it's the thing where No More Heroes 3 has so many of the things that I love about No More Heroes 1 and 2, but it also has some of the things that I don't love about No More Heroes 1 and 2, especially playing those games in 2021. Like, I went back and I played some of No More Heroes 1 again when they remastered it for Switch, and immediately getting into the open world stuff, I was like, oh yeah, this stuff was really laborious. Oh yeah, I don't love driving around Santa Destroy. Oh yeah, like the open world isn't great. And a lot of that stuff they got rid of.
Goddamn coconuts.
I gotta collect these goddamn coconuts. And they brought back a lot of those same things in No More Heroes 3. And No More Heroes 2 got rid of that stuff. I think that's the thing that frustrated me the most with No More Heroes 3 is the fact that No More Heroes 2 really pared down a lot of that filler content that No More Heroes 1 had. They got rid of the open world. They replaced a lot of the jobs with 8-bit/16-bit minigames, stuff that I would say was more fun to actually do. No More Heroes 3 added a lot of No More Heroes 1 elements back in a way where I was like, wait, really? Why would you do this? But I think the thing that would help out with a Deadpool game for Suda 51 compared to No More Heroes 3 is the fact that I think in No More Heroes 3, I got to a point in that game where it felt like they ran out of budget. It felt like they're like, okay, cool, the game's opening up, and in order to actually make this game a decent length, we have to add in a bunch of filler, we have to reuse a bunch of assets, we have to pare down combat a bit compared to No More Heroes 2. And for me, that it was more so a thing of budget rather than the game design vision not being there. If Suda 51 is making a Deadpool game, I'm sure he would have the resources that Disney or Marvel would want to give him to actually make that game good. And so, like, that being the case, I would love to see Suda 51 make that kind of game with the full backing of a Marvel, because I think that could be a really cool thing. And I think you don't really get, I mean, we haven't had many Marvel games, at least in the modern era of Marvel games, from Japanese developers. And I think a Deadpool by Suda 51 would be a cool, different take on a Marvel game.
Yeah, I mean, you sold me a lot more than I was going into this. But yeah, it definitely comes down to the budget. It's that complicated thing, though. We look at Suda 51 and the games he's put out over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, how many of them have been legitimately good? And how many of them have been like good to a certain subsect of people that like
you're asking dangerous questions, Tim.
I know, exactly. And with that, it's like, so is budget the actual answer? Or is there deeper problems? You know what I mean? Like, and that's where it's interesting. I'd love to see what a Suda 51 game with the budget that is actually necessary to make the dream a reality, what would that look like? Because I think that it could be extremely special, or it just could be a very expensive way to say fuckhead.
Yeah. I do want to shout out the what they mentioned about the three original IPs that they're working on over the next decade. I will say that is exciting to me. One, actually a couple things. They say that No More Heroes 3 is the end of No More Heroes. I think that is a bold-faced lie. I think we're getting No More Heroes. I think we're getting more No More Heroes. Maybe they call it something different. Maybe it's more Travis Strikes Again type sequels, but we're definitely getting No More Heroes, like more No More Heroes, because No More Heroes 3 very much points to you're getting more No More Heroes. And so I don't believe that for a second. That said, I do like the idea of three new IPs coming from Grasshopper Manufacture, because I think that gives them the space to not have to make games that harken back to older games. You know, I think, again, talking about No More Heroes 3, that's one of my biggest issues, is that the game just didn't evolve enough compared to where No More Heroes 1 and 2 were at. And I think making new IPs really allows them to not be beholden to old standards and not have to do things that older games did in order to make the audience that loves those games, like, really still connect to them in a way that makes those games feel older, right? Like, I want them to make something new. I want them to make something fresh. I liked Let It Die, the game that Suda51 put out in, like, 2016, 2017-ish. Mm-hmm. The free-to-play, Souls-like-ish, arcade-y kind of game that he put out exclusively on PlayStation. I thought that game had really cool ideas. As a whole, wasn't a fantastic game whatsoever, but I had fun playing that game, and I thought there were some really cool, interesting ideas in there. I want to see more of that. But back to our point, I want to see more of that with quality. I want to see that with budget. I want to see that actually developed over time and made to feel like a full product that not only I, as somebody who's a fan of Suda51's games, can get behind, but that anyone can get behind and be like, oh, this is a 2021 must-play game, right? Like, I want Suda51 to put out those, because I think he has those in him, because he has the creativity. I know we talk about auteurs all the time, but I think he really is a dude with a vision and knows how to carry out that vision, but he just needs the quality and, like, the budget to back him in order to make something great.
Yeah, totally. I'll never forget one time Andrew Renee threw a karaoke party and there was a ton of people there. And all of a sudden I look over and I was like, is that Suda51 singing November Rain by Guns N' Roses? Yeah, it is.
Suda51 seems like a cool dude, kids.
He's a cool ass dude, for sure.
One of my friends at PAX sent me a selfie of him with Suda51. He was like, yeah, I ran into Suda51. And I was like, you ran into Suda51? I don't think you understand how much I love Suda51. Like, how do I run into Suda51? And so he seems like a cool dude that'll take a picture with you at PAX if you run into him. Tim, before we get into our next news story, I want to remind the folks that you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Purple. I know it may seem like it, but the world isn't really against us from getting a good night's sleep. Luckily, you'll have no difficulties drifting off to sleep on a Purple mattress. That's because only Purple mattresses use their fancy grid technology. It's a unique ventilated design that lets air flow through to keep you cool. I can tell you this as a fact. I have the Purple pillow, and I will never use another pillow in my life. I love it so much. It never gets too hot. It's always cold. You don't need to flip it to the other side because it's just cold already. I don't know how it works. It's the grid. It's cool. The grid is also supported for your back and legs while cushioning your shoulders, neck, and hips. Unlike memory foam, which remembers everything, the grid bounces back as you move and shift. Purple is comfort reinvented. Right now, you'll get 10% off any order of $200 or more. Go to purple.com/games10 and use promo code games10. That's purple.com/games10, promo code games10 for 10% off any order of $200 or more. Purple.com/games10, promo code games10. Terms apply.
Tim, it's time to talk about the new story that everybody's been waiting for. Story number three. Finally, Fortnite adds Mike Lowry. This is from Wesley LeBlanc at IGN. Kevin, I have an image that you can pull up that's being linked from IGN. Thank you so much for that. Fortnite has added Will Smith's Mike Lowry character from the Bad Boys movie franchise to the Battle Royale's item shop. Epic Games announced the Bad Boys / Fortnite crossover in a blog post on Saturday, revealing that a little of Miami's South Beach would be coming to the game by way of Detective Mike Lowry. The Mike Lowry outfit can be purchased in the Fortnite item shop right now, includes the detective's duffel back bling. The loose cannon set also features Lowry's dual wielding pickaxe known as the Loose Cannon Cutters. Unfortunately for Bad Boys diehards, Lowry's police partner and best friend Marcus Burnett is nowhere to be seen. Tim, it's finally happening. We've been waiting so long for it to happen. Mike Lowry's in Fortnite.
Ride together, die together. Bad Boys for life, baby. What the hell? Great. What the actual hell? He does look great. This is so random. It makes no sense at all. I'm so happy this is the world we live in. That Fortnite, among other games, can just be like, you know what? We're just going to do this partnership. Why? Because it's cool. And there's someone out there that is going to vibe really, really hard with it. This is the type of news that has transcended my normal group of Twitter follows of people be like, Josh Macuga might be playing video games for the first time in his damn life because of this. You know what I mean? What the hell, though? Why, Bless? Why? Why is this happening?
Out of all of Will Smith's roles, you pick Mike Lowry to put into Fortnite. You could have picked the Fresh Prince. You know how cool the Fresh Prince would have been in Fortnite? You could have picked, what was it? Was it Agent J in Men in Black? Agent L, Agent K? One of the agents. One of the letters of the alphabet. I got 26 guesses.
If you can't remember, it's probably not the best idea to put it in.
I think it's Agent J. I know there's definitely an Agent J there. I forget if it's him or if it's the older guy.
K was the other dude.
K was the other guy? It was Agent J and Agent K. Agent JK? Just kidding. Who are you calling right now, Tim?
Macuga.
Nick Scarpino, you're live on Kinda Funny Games Daily right now. I just wanted to get your quick thoughts on an addition to Fortnite that is coming out today. They are adding Mike Lowry to Fortnite.
First off, my thought is great, but what happened to Marcus Burnett? And I think we can all agree that he is, like me, the short foundation of the Bad Boys organization. And I'm just going to say it right now. I think he's getting cheated out of his calling.
Yeah. The unfortunate news is Marcus is nowhere to be found. So you will have to play as Mike.
I'm not going to play Fortnite. I'm going to test Fortnite.
We hate Kenny.
He keeps coming in and out.
Who is the first captain that can't shoot a basketball?
Got it. Okay. Well, thank you very much for that, Nick.
No problem. Okay. See you soon.
Bye.
Oh, he said something about shooting a basketball?
Yeah. He did say that. I heard it.
Hell yeah. But
Tim won't elaborate. I love it.
Tim's like, I don't know, man. I was listening to what he was saying.
I was not listening to what he was saying.
But like, again, Fresh Prince, Hancock, Agent J.
Hancock. All right. You've lost.
They have superheroes in Fortnite. Like, didn't they have a whole season about superheroes? You tell me that you didn't want to add Hancock for that season? Why is Mike Lowry the go-to? No.
Bless, what this up? Is it. They're just testing the water here for Season of the Will. Okay?
Oh, my God.
When we finally get Hitch. There's a way. We get literally, it's just like 20 different versions
Will
of Will Smith.
Smith literally plays Deadshot. Like that DC heroes. Will's
character from Wild Wild West. That's a great, great idea. Yeah. There we go. God. Gemini Man. Both versions.
Old Will Smith, young Will Smith.
Yeah,
Will Smith from 7 Pounds.
And depending on which one you play, one's exclusive to the 120 frames per second version.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
That'd be dope. Yeah. That'd be dope. Give me Will Smith from Concussion.
So few people got that reference, I bet you.
It doesn't matter. The people that did, they fuck with it hard.
Exactly. And that's what it's all about.
Bless, here's the thing. Imagine being Emmett Watkins Jr. and seeing this news?
In your mind just exploding. Like, Emmett Watkins Jr. had a week last week. Because he got a new Kendrick song. He got the announcement of a new Kendrick album and the fact that Kendrick's changing his name. He got a Saints Row game. He got a Kanye West album. Emmett Watkins Jr. is living his best life, and I'm happy for him.
Yeah. God bless.
Good for him. Tim, let's talk about story number 4. NetEase is in talks to hire the creator of Yakuza. That is the games, not the organization. I'm pulling from Takashi Mochizuki at Bloomberg. NetEase is in final negotiations to poach Yakuza franchise creator Toshihiro Nagoshi from Sega, a sign of how Chinese games companies are expanding beyond their home turf during a government-led crackdown. The hire from Sega would mark the biggest coup in a contest between NetEase and close rival Tencent to scoop up video game talent and assets in Japan, made more urgent by slowing growth and regulatory pressure at home. Nagoshi, who developed and helms one of Sega's most successful action series, is expected to set up his own team and create new games, people familiar with the matter said. He hasn't signed a final contract, and his duties have yet to be finalized, they said, asking not to be identified, discussing a private deal. To add more context, I'm gonna pull in Luke Plunkett from Kotaku, who writes regarding the same story. Nagoshi joined Sega in 1989 and has worked on everything from Daytona to Virtual Fighter to F-Zero GX. But it's his most recent blockbuster series, the Yakuza games, that now span 8 main entries and a number of spinoffs that have perhaps made him most famous in the West, especially given his public prominence as the head of the development studio, Ryu Ga Gotoku. Nagoshi's departure will likely not have a direct impact on any of the series he has worked on recently, since they all belong to Sega and are made by huge teams of developers. But it will still be a blow for fans and Sega themselves to see a man responsible for so many of the company's biggest hits of the last 30 years to leave for a rival organization. Tim, this is a wild one. You know, like, Yakuza is one of those franchises that over the years, especially over the last, I'm going to say 5 years, as we've seen so many more Yakuza games get remastered, remade, and re-released, has had a fan base that has grown exponentially over the years. And I know so many people, even Gary Whitta, talks about how much he adores games like Yakuza Like a Dragon. To see the creator and lead being taken off in order to join another company, I'm sure, is probably a big blow for a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, this is interesting. Like, we're talking about a legend here. Like, this dude is responsible for so many Sega franchises, at least in some way. Like, I'm talking about Daytona, Virtua Fighter, even F-Zero GX, which was a collaboration between Sega and Nintendo back on the GameCube. Like, that was back when Nintendo was getting really weird, and like, they allowed Capcom to make a Zelda game with the Oracle games. They allowed I think it was Capcom to partner for Star Fox Assault, and for F-Zero to partner with Sega to make this game this more arcadey style thing, because they had that background, that infrastructure, all the way to things like Super Monkey Ball that I've been talking about a lot recently, because we've been seeing the trailers like you just love so much. And it's interesting to see him leave, especially to go to NetEase potentially. Like, there is this whole world of video games that we just don't know much about. We just talk a lot about, bless, when it comes to the Tencent and NetEase and all this stuff. And there's this future building that sounds scary.
Dude, while reading the story for the show, I just looked up NetEase's output, like, in terms of games. I went through the games and I was like, I've heard of none of these games. Like, scrolling through, there are games that probably have gigantic audiences in other countries that we're just not aware of, because we're here in our echo chamber of being in the West and playing a certain type of game. But when you look at the numbers, when you look at the size of the audiences, right? Like, NetEase and Tencent especially, but we're more familiar with Tencent because of Riot and all the other Tencent Holdings companies. Seeing how much they're responsible for is insane. And yeah, like, there's this big war going on in between these huge companies that we can't fathom, because it is a war between Chinese conglomerate companies that are giant, that are just trying to buy out other game developers and other studios to try and compete. And it's insane.
Yeah. And so, like, this is kind of interesting, though, of like them making this move, targeting a specific person. And like, what does that mean for what NetEase's plan is? Like, are they trying to, you know, take the foundation they have of money and kind of audience with all the different games they have, and try to add some quality control to that? Like, that's not necessarily the worst thing, right? Like, this is sad news for Sega, but Sega's been an interesting place the last decade anyways, right? Like, in so many ways, a lot of these franchises are, and I don't necessarily mean this in a bad way, but on cruise control, where it's like, they got this. They have teams that understand what makes Yakuza Yakuza, right? Like, I think that they'll be able to continue without him being there, but it's just weird times, man. This headline doesn't sound exciting, but it could potentially lead to an exciting world where there's a whole other side to video games being created that we are talking about, and they aren't just flying under the radar for the West.
Yeah. I mean, I think my biggest thing here is that I hope that Yakuza continues to be quality, right? Like, I hope that I hope that is the thing, that Yakuza at this point has been standardized in a way that, even though the creator is leaving, the team that he's left behind is equipped and understanding of what Yakuza is and how to make Yakuza, and that whoever was below him or alongside him making those games are able to rise to the ranks and be able to lead those games in a way that is competent, in a way that the audience can look to as, okay, no, we trust this new person because they understand what Yakuza is and they understand how to lead this team. That is the big hope, because I definitely understand, like, if you told me that I'm trying to think of a relative, I guess we talked about Kojima earlier, right? Like, if you told me that Konami's working on a new Metal Gear Solid game, I'd be like, all right, without Hideo Kojima, I don't know how I feel about this. I know Yakuza, a different thing, because Yakuza has been ongoing, and, you know, it's not like Sega's been mistreating the creator here, or it's not the same torn story.
There's
that we
so
have
much
between Kojima and Konami, right? But even look at Jeff Kaplan with Blizzard, and when he leaves Overwatch, it's like, oh, all right. Well, hopefully they continue doing this thing. Like, that scares me a little bit, but hopefully the people that are still there are still equipped.
Yeah, what's interesting about what you're saying here is the Kojima Konami thing. Obviously, there's a lot more into it because of the politics and all that, and the shadiness and all that, let alone where Konami is right now as a video game developer and publisher, where it's like not good, right? Like they are not really making video games, and especially not great video games like they used to. Yeah. Whereas with Sega, it's interesting because to apply it to this logic of a creator and how important they are and all that stuff, like, between me and you, Bless, I feel like we are more qualified to talk about this than most. Like, Sonic Team's Sonic games aren't the best Sonic games of recent years. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's like, sometimes maybe it is other teams that are going to understand what makes these franchises tick, mm-hmm, and what they need to evolve and change, even if evolving means going back to the drawing board in some cases. Like, this might not be the worst news, and Sega has kind of proven that.
Well said, Tim. Let's round out the Roper Report with story number 5. It's a quick one. I'm pulling from Nival. Disco Elysium has been rated for Xbox One, Xbox Series X/S, and Switch, which I'm going to say is very exciting. Everybody should play Disco Elysium. Disco Elysium, of course, is the CRPG game, the top-down. You are playing as a detective. You've lost a memory. You're going back and trying to solve a case. It has some of the most interesting and complex writing that I've experienced in a video game that I've played. Really adore that game. And it's really exciting that seemingly people are going to be able to get it on other platforms. I think Switch would be a fantastic way to play that game. So get hyped, everybody. Tim, would you ever have any interest in playing Disco Elysium? I know that it is a different type of game than Tim Geddes usually plays.
Yeah, I booted it up. I played for a little bit and I was just like, I don't have the patience for this.
It's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
In my old age, man, it's just like, I know, like, the thing I've learned over time is that there are genres I like, there are genres, mm-hmm, I love, there are genres I just don't vibe, yep, with. And I've always tried to give them a shot. I try to not write things off. And when there are these rare exceptions of, like, there's these games where it's like, you know what, it transcends all of that, it's just so good that you need to give it a shot, I try to. And infamously, I've told the story a million times. That's proven very valuable to me. And it's given me some new favorite genres that I didn't have before. Fire Emblem, when I played it for the first time, Path of Radiance on the GameCube, I would have before that told you, I hate these type of tactical strategy games. I don't like that at all. Fuck that. I played that. Now I love them. I love them, and I'm willing to play other games in that genre because of that. So it's like, I always want to try to give it a shot. Having said that, though, Disco Elysium, it didn't do it for me. And yeah, maybe it's just because you need to play long enough for it to grab me, but that's just not where I'm at in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the fact that Disco Elysium is very much its genre. I remember when the game first came out quite a few years ago, I was listening to podcasts about it, and on those podcasts, they're talking about how, like, hey, like, I'm usually not a computer RPG or classic RPG, whatever the CNC RPG stands for. I'm not that kind of person, right? I'm not an adventure game kind of person, but Disco Elysium was able to pull me in. Even me playing Disco Elysium, I would say the same thing. Those are usually not my type of games, but Disco Elysium did pull me in. I would also say that I don't think Disco Elysium is going to pull everybody in if you're not into that kind of game. I think it is the closest I've been to, like, or I felt like playing a game is reading a book. There is so much text in that game. There's so much reading. There's so much dialogue. There's so much even in the way that the dialogue functions, right? Like, there's so much there in terms of what you can get out of any dialogue sequence and choosing your own adventure and understanding what different dialogue means and how it pertains to the character build that you've created. It is such a complex game, and that pulled me in just because I was fascinated with it. But also, by the time I beat the game, I really adore it, but, like, it didn't turn me into a person that's going to play more CRPGs. Yeah,
does the C stand for in CRPG? I keep pretending I know.
I've looked it up before, and I get different answers on the internet, but I'm going to say computer RPG is the most, like, popular version of that.
Okay.
It's like the click and point RPG.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that makes sense.
People also say classic. People go back and forth between computer and classic.
Okay, I get what that's implying. That makes sense.
Exactly. Tim, I'm really excited for people to get the chance to play Disco Elysium, but it releasing on Xbox One, Xbox Series S, and Xbox Series X and Switch is so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do 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 do, yeah.
Yeah.
Out today, we got Book of Travels for PC, Trash Sailors for Switch, Tinytopia for PC, and then 30XX Level 7 Dustria and Fires of Industry update is available now. New dates for you. Tactical Combat Department is coming to Steam on October 14th. Flying City Builder Airborne Kingdom lands on consoles November 9th. Grow Song of the Evertree blossoms onto PC and consoles November 16th, 2021. And then Rhythm of the Universe Ionia is out September 23rd on Quest, PSVR, and on Steam. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can squat up, you can get your questions in, you can get the post show. But I'm pulling from Brian, who wrote in with a squat up and says, I started an alliance for Marvel Future Revolution that all kind of funny best friends can join. There are a few of us there already, but we'd love to see more best friends join us. We're playing on the Sakaar 2 server, so if you're there, come join us. Warning, you can change servers to play with us, but it restarts your progress, so beware. Hope to see you all in-game. If you want to play some of that Marvel Future Revolutions with Brian, you can join the Alliance. The Alliance name is KFBFs. That is capitalized KFBF, lowercase s at the end, KFBFs. Tim, now it's time for one of them rotating segments. We have a required reading for you. Over on Game Informer, Ben Reeves wrote a long article titled Naughty by Nature, Naughty Dog Leadership Reflects on the Studio's History. Ben over there got to interview the leads over there at Naughty Dog, did an extensive deep dive with them. I'm going to read the first paragraph, but then I encourage everybody to go check that out. On PS I Love You XOXO later today, me and Janet will talk a little bit about that interview in our PlayStation update section. And so I highly recommend go read the article, get caught up. We'll break it down on PS I Love You. But for now, the article starts like this. Naughty Dog is one of the most beloved game developers in the industry. Since 1984, the studio has delivered a steady stream of hits, including iconic franchises like Crash Bandicoot, Jak and Daxter, Uncharted, and The Last of Us. But making games isn't getting any easier, so we sat down with Naughty Dog co-presidents Evan Wells and Neil Druckmann to talk about how they're shepherding the legacy of the studio, working to combat work crunch, and dealing with harsh criticism. Again, it's a very good article by Ben Reeves. It's an exclusive interview. They absolutely killed it. Did a great job. Go over there and read it. And again, we'll talk about it on PS I Love You XOXO.
Fantastic now, read, by the way. Very, very 100%. Interesting. Lot of information I didn't expect to get from them. So check it out.
Let's jump in to kindoffunny.com/you-were-wrong, where you write in a list of what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe.
Just wanted you to know that when you asked me the Mom and Grop Shop thing, where should you look? And there was like a slight pause before I started saying it. It's because I was distracted trying to look up if Gemini Man on 4K UHD is in the high frame rate, because I need to buy that if it is.
Good for you, Tim. I love that you're part of this life. You're part of the. I'm going to see things life, as baby. Clearly as I can.
Yeah. I want to see it all.
I want to see it all.
As possible.
Nanobiologist writes in and says, not sure if this is in housekeeping, but I didn't hear you mention that y'all are not streaming on Wednesday because of hashtag a day off Twitch to fight the hate raids and Twitch's inaction. Of course, thank you for that, Nanobiologist. As a reminder, we will not be live on Twitch. We'll be recording all of our content as usual, and so you will still get a KFGD, but it will only be on podcast services and on YouTube and video
real quick,
services.
It's fucking bullshit. First off, duh, hate raids are bullshit, and this needs to stop, and Twitch, I can't believe how bad they've handled this all. But bless, like, you were tweeting, like, this has been happening to you multiple times in the last week. Like,
oh yeah,
I just think that's important to put out there, where it's like, this isn't just something that's happening to some people. It's like, this is a thing that's happening to Blessing people. Like, this is a thing that's happening to people that we know. Come on, Twitch.
I mean, yeah,
figure the fuck out.
We were streaming, me, Andy, and Alana Pierce were streaming Monday for Aliens Fireteam Elite. I think that's the game. Yeah, Aliens Fireteam Elite. And all three of us, you know, got hate rated in one stream, right? Like, it is an issue. It is something that needs to be dealt with. And like, Twitch, they acknowledged it like weeks ago, and still, you know, nothing's been done. If anything, it seems like it's gotten worse, because I went from getting no hate raids to getting multiple within a week, like three streams in a row, pretty much. And there was one stream where I got hate rated multiple times in the same stream. And so, like, it's an issue. It's a bummer. But we're taking the day off on Wednesday on Twitch specifically, totally. In protest of that.
Bless, real quick, I want some insight on this because I feel like there's a lot of people that don't really understand what is going on right now. So we got a missing link in the chat saying, I'm unfamiliar with this. How does one know if a raid is a hate raid and not a normal raid?
So people are, it's interesting because I think the term hate raid, people take that and compare it to actual raids, right? Which is you get a notification on Twitch. It'll say X person has raided you and, you know, people are hanging out and people are coming through from another person's stream. Hate raids aren't actually using the raid function, right? Like basically in the way that I've experienced it, I'll be playing a game, look at chat and I'll see just a bunch of bot posts posting hateful things, right? And they've gotten really creative with it in a way where you look over it and it seems like gibberish, but people are basically trying to get around all the hate filters that they have on Twitch and are basically using different characters. They're doing like they're putting in different forms of it, but basically your chat will be filled with an endless amount of bots spamming hateful things in chat, and then you have to like figure out how to deal with that and get rid of it. But yeah, it's like it's basically a way for people to attack you through setting in bots. That's like the simple form of it.
Yeah. It's fucked up. And when, like, Twitch needs to figure out a way to stop it because it's just, it's unacceptable and it is just getting more and more common since they said they were going to figure it out.
Yes. Yeah. Nanobiologist writes in You're Wrong and says, Will Smith was Agent J. Tommy Lee Jones was Agent K. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. I saw people getting mad in chat about that. I want to remind you, there are like 26 letters in the alphabet, everybody. All right. And it's hard to keep,
well, hard to keep out of all the things that you could have said right there. It was like, oh, you know, Bad Boys was a long time ago. I don't remember. No, what you're bringing Men up Black. Is there's too many letters. Oh, yeah, sorry, Men in Black. There's too many letters. 26 letters.
There's 26 letters. When you name a character after a letter, I have 26 chances to get it right to memorize this man's name, all right? Agent J is not a memorable name. His name could have been Agent Z for all I know. Or Agent L. Again, a lot of letters we could roll with. A lot of letters. Let's see here. I think that's it for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Oh, wait, one more. Resident chat says, Book of Travels got delayed a few days ago. Release is TBD now. So just a heads up for you on that. Of course, today is Monday, which means we have a full week ahead of us for Kind of Funny Games Daily. This week's hosts go like this. Tomorrow, you're getting Timur Hussein in the hosting seat with Gary Witta. Wednesday, you're getting me and Andy. Thursday, it's Shannon and Tim. And then on Friday, it's me and Tim. That's right, we're back at it like a bad habit. If you're watching this live right now on Twitch, after this is Andy Cortez, I believe, playing some Super Animal Royale. So get hyped for that. You can catch that later if you subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember this.
He's playing something else. Just a heads up.
Oh, they're going to be playing something else? Hmm? Do you know what he's gonna be playing?
Nah, he's gonna let the chat decide. So like,
get
ready.
A little democracy going on in here. Get hyped!
You love to see it.
You love to see the system at work. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on Twitch.tv/KindofFunnyGames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of Patreon.com/KindofFunnyGames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.